I want to talk to you today about something that's very close to my heart, and that is someone reaching their full potential. You know, Pastor David, one of my early mentors, he used to say, you remember when you were a child, you say, when I grow up, I'm going to be? Yeah. And usually it's something like, well, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be a fireman, or I'm going to be a policeman, or I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's wild. You say, I'm going to be an astronaut. Or I'm going to be the president, right? Yeah. And you have these dreams and these aspirations, and you were serious at that time because there was something in you that was calling to greatness. And even in your youth, you had enough sense to try to call out to it. You didn't even know how to aspire to it yet. So you saw things that you thought were of excellence and were of higher standard, and even as a youth you were calling out for it, because you tell your friends, yeah, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Well, then Pastor David would also say, I just wonder if, you know, the guy, and listen, if you're working at a convenience store, there's nothing wrong with that, but I want to use this as kind of an expect, you know, just a generalization so you can have a comparison. I just wonder that person who's working the midnight shift at a rundown gas station convenience store, I just wonder that night shift, if when he was a little kid in school, he goes, boy, when I grow up, I'm going to work the midnight shift in a rundown gas convenience store. And he used to say, I wonder what happened between then and now. Something happened in that time span where somehow the potential that was realized was not realized, therefore, it never came to fruition. And so with that said, if you don't mind, I want to look at some scripture, and I want to break this topic down. And hopefully before we leave here, you're going to have a different perspective and a different relation. I've taught along these lines many times, but I'm going to teach it a different way today. And I'm going to teach it line upon line, precept upon precept. And I want you to track through this until you can understand it, so you can understand not only what your full potential is, but how can you achieve it? And how can you avoid being sabotaged from getting to the place where God wants you to be? So we'll start with Genesis 1:20. I'm going to read from the King James Version. And God said, let the waters bring forth. I want you to focus on that. It said, let the waters bring forth, and underline that. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth, and the open firmament of the heaven. Then if we read in Genesis 1:24, I'll read from the NIV, it says, I'll read from the King James. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth. Focus on that, underline it. Let the earth bring forth the living creature of its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth of his kind, and it was so. Now, there's a lot going on here. We read these as words, but there's a lot going on. This is creation. This is how every living thing was formed. And so you see two things going on here in chapter 1 in Genesis. Number one, let there be, and it was, and bring forth, and it did. Did you get that? Let there be, and it was, and bring forth, and it did. And the Bible goes on to say that every seed produces after its own kind. So what it is what it does after its own kind. So you produce, when it says after its own kind, listen to this, you produce what you become. Now, God creates everything to be able to produce something. And that something's already built into the nature of the thing, of whatever it is that he created. So watch this. When God wants something to happen in the earth, God doesn't pray and say, oh, I want this to happen, and I'm believing that this is going to happen. No. When God wants something to happen in the earth, he speaks to it. And it releases whatever the potential is that he put inside of it when he made it. He spoke to the land, bring forth. And it did. He spoke to the waters, the sea. Bring forth. And it did. See, the potential was already inside of those things, and it was waiting on God's word to speak to it so it could simply be released. It was ready. It was loaded. It was packed. Had everything it needed. Just needed a word from God to be able to release the potential that it had stored up inside of it so it could produce something in the earth realm. Something of lasting purpose, something of benefit. So if you look at this now, follow it. Everything we eat, everything that we make, the materials that we make our shelters from, the cars we drive, the clothes we wear, it's all the result of God releasing some potential in order to create it. Do you see this? So, however, watch. Don't lose it. Don't lose me here. When it was time to create mankind, he did something different. See, man didn't evolve out of anything. I'm sorry what you learned in these crazy classrooms that people are trying to teach about evolution. Man did not evolve. Now, you would have a good argument if you wanted to see that things creeped out of the sea and things was formed out of the land, because I just told you, it said the earth was supposed to bring forth those things. And the water was supposed to bring forth those things. So you may have a good argument there. But man was not brought forth out of water or out of the earth. How do I know that? Because the Bible says. Because God created him. Okay, so I'll show you where God says. Genesis 1:26, King James, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." So he wasn't formed out of the water. He wasn't formed out of the sea. He was formed and created from God in God's own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion, say dominion, over the fish, the sea, everything else that was created out of that water and out of that sea. So God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, us create man, spirit, soul, body, in our own image, our image. In the likeness of God. We're not God, but we're created in the likeness of God. We're a three-part being like God is, spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Then God just says, I'm about to put the potential inside of him that I just created. And then, listen to this, I'm going to put a voice inside of him to be able to have a voice in the earth so that he can have dominion, listen to this, by his ability to speak on my behalf. I'm giving you a minute to digest and to think about what I'm saying. I'm doing this on purpose. In my own image. So when I speak to him, he can release the potential that's inside of him to bring forth the things in the earth that I've created him to be able to do. So when I speak to him, the potential that I put into him will be godlike. Same power, God's power, but it will be inside the man that I created to be able to have the potential to release it, to hold it and to release it. Ephesians 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power, say his power, at work within us, say in me, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask. So there it is right there. If you ever want to know how it works and how God designed you, it's through the potential he put in you through his mighty power. It work within us to accomplish. To accomplish what? Whatever he wants us to do. So God's saying, when I speak to him, mankind, I'm speaking to the potential, allowing him to release my power that is directed to accomplish the word that I sent to him through him. See, if you don't get this, I can't even move on. You are created. I don't care what you think you're created for. You may be a professional athlete and you think you're created for baseball or basketball or football. No, you're not. Those are things God lets you do. That is not what you created for. So praise God, he gave you that platform so you can use it for something to his glory. But you were never created for a football, for a basketball, or anything else. I hear people say, in one of the legends of the sports, oh, he was just made to do that. Well, yeah, that was his plan in life, but did he reach his full potential? He or she. I'm speaking of mankind in this case. And so his potential is all about understanding who you are and why you are here. You are here for one purpose, to reveal God. You were built and designed for God to speak to you so his word could work through you. And the power that he put in you is only accessible by his word that speaks to you to unlock it, to release it from you. And until you get the word speaking to you and you let it unlock in you what's in you, you will never reach your full potential. You may reach greatness, but you will never reach your full potential. People think just because they've done great things that somehow that they've done the right course of life. I could show you many, many, many successful people who were on their deathbed that were miserable people. Some even took their own lives to escape the misery. Why? Because through all the achieving of the greatness and the striving and for the excellence and attaining and competing, they accomplished those things and found that they still had no peace because the thing that was in them couldn't get outside of them. And it left a void in that person because there was a space that was missing in the earth. We'll get there. We'll get there. Are you tracking me this far? So then we see the likeness coming forth here in Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the earth and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, I don't know what it was when it crawled out of the water, but if Adam said walrus, it had two tusks, and it was a walrus. Is that what a walrus does? I don't even know if a walrus does that. It just seemed like the thing to do. I'm digressing. If something was made from the land, if he said elephant, it had a trunk. You follow? I mean, it was an elephant to see what he would call them. Why? Because the potential was in him that when God spoke to him, that he, the God's power inside of him, could work in the earth. Just like when God said, bring forth, he said, call it. This is the way you're created. You may not like your design. You may not like the way God created the human, but you can't change the fact that it is so. And if you don't want to release and believe, you don't want to release your full potential, don't believe a word I'm saying. And you can live an unfulfilled life the rest of your life searching and hunting for the thing that you'll never find because you'll never find it without God. I'm just telling the truth. Remember, God knew you. We've been through the last two sessions. He knew you before he put you into the earth suit, remember? He said, how could you tell a prophet I knew you before the womb? You have to know him somewhere else, in another place, not in the earth. You haven't been in the womb. The womb is the portal to the earth. Well, how do I know you if you haven't been through the portal? I have to know you from someplace else. How can I know you if I haven't spent time with you? If I've never communicated with you? Are you tracking me? So God knew you, and listen to this. When he knew you in that heavenly realm, listen to me, he gave you an address in heaven. He gave you a voice from heaven. and then he puts you through a portal into the earth. They called Jesus the second Adam. Why? Because when he called something, you're healed, rise and walk. It happened. And so when God's word speaks to you on earth as it is in heaven, when God's word speaks to the lame, they're healed, because there's no sickness in heaven. There's no halt in heaven. And when he speaks to you, your voice in heaven comes back to you. I bind those things on earth as they're bound in heaven. I bind those things in heaven as they're, I loose. You can bind and loose. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you some keys this morning. I hope you're going to unlock some things. It's already in you. You don't have keys unless something needs unlocked. And if something needs unlocked, you need to know where it came from and what's behind the door. But when he opens the door, you need to know what's about to come out, because he's going to call upon your potential, and your potential, something's going to be released from you. And whatever he put in you is that thing that's coming out. And that thing is coming out defines your purpose in this earth. And until it's unlocked in you, until you release it, you will never know. You might be good at things, you might be great at other things, but you will never know what you were created for. This morning, I had to play the drums. I can play the drums. I'm a decent drummer. I can get it if I, but my greatness is not drumming. My greatness is doing what God put me in my calling to do. I can do all sorts of things. How many people can do, you're good at all kinds of things. You can say it, so you're not bragging. You know if you're good at stuff. Sometimes you can work and practice and get really good at stuff. You can even get great at stuff. I bet if I went around the room, I have a practical, you know, Olympic athlete here. I mean, we have some people that have aspired to some pretty high things. But it has nothing to do with the potential that God put in you. Learn that. Why do you think you see people like the Justin Biebers of the world, who are the most popular people in the world, and when they find Jesus, they're like, whoa. See, I thought it was in all that. That's nothing compared to the glory of God. And then they realize, oh, my potential was here the whole time. I was operating in my giftedness, but I wasn't operating in my potential. If Elvis rocked the jailhouse, what could he have done to the church? When God knew you, before you were formed, he had a plan for your life. It was a good one. It's going to prosper. It's a good plan. But that plan can only come forth when his word releases the potential for you to bring forth what he desires. So let's talk about humans. There's two ways humans communicate, all right? It's either through speaking, we'll call that sound, or it's through actions, sight, sound, or feeling, okay? So that could be like sign language or Braille or Morse code. You know, you can communicate these different ways. You can feel vibrations, and some people can interpret the vibrations. You know, but it's still in these senses. And these are the gates, hearing, seeing, and feeling. Listen to me. These are the three gates that gain the access into our being. So the entertainment industry, they have mastered the entryways of these gates and how to access them in people. They know how to access the human psyche. Trust me. They spent billions of dollars to do it, and they do it every day. Why? So they can control your emotions and your desires, and then it leads mankind into performing whatever actions they're manipulating into doing. When they were younger, remember all the cigarette commercials? The Marlboro Man. Tough and rugged. I used to see people sitting out on the benches holding that cigarette going, they were the Marlboro Man. Riding out on the range, busting the herd of cattle, sitting on a park bench with trash all around their feet, living the dream, some fake world that's tied up in the... this false emotion. Are you listening to me? So much so they had to take them off of television because the rate of lung cancer was going up so high. So they banned them from TV. I'm just telling you how it works. Now it gets way worse because now you go to a theater, you have IMAX. The chairs even shake. And the sounds are coming. You'll hear a sound go by an airplane. And it goes from behind you to forward. It's like you're there. How about those little glasses you put on? You look like a moron. You're standing there. What are you doing? Touching those senses and programming your mind and thinking, and they're accessing the gates to be able to control you. Now they got even worse. You better be, we ain't seen nothing yet. They got AI now, artificial intelligence. Yeah, now they're making AI videos of people that look so real, and they're blackmailing them. Saying, I'm going to show this video to so-and-so if you don't pay me. Yeah, that's what's going on right now. You haven't seen anything yet. All to be able to control you. All to be able to manipulate you. All to gain access into those gates. Why am I talking about it? Because that's what disrupts your potential. Remember, God said, and it was. He brought Adam to call them, and whatever he said, it was. So if it's all about what you say, listen to me. He put that in the programming. Luke 6:45 makes it as crystal clear. I'll read it from the New Living Translation. At the end of the verse, he says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. I've taught you many times the word cardia there in heart is speaking about what flows through a person, what's coming into your life. If you got virtual reality coming in, you got virtual reality you're living in, and nothing's real in your world. If you're having artificial intelligence stimulation, then your world is artificial. It is not real. Are you? Do you know what the biggest watched audience was? I feel probably still is. Soap operas. Like you don't have enough problems of your own. You got to watch people make up stories about their own lives so you can be miserable with them. What is that all about? And buddy, you will not miss. You'll wreck your car on the way home at lunch because, oh my God, it starts in 5 minutes. I got to know what happened from the last episode. Are you kidding me? You walk in, oh, I missed it. I got to go back to TiVo. The heart's what's flowing through you. And the world's trying to flow through you so it can control you. Now, we talk a lot about it, but we don't talk why. So we have to talk why now. You need to realize how real this is. And the more you know about it, the more you'll understand why they continue to do it. Listen to me. I'm going to make a statement. If you don't hear anything I say, you listen to this. If the enemy can control you, he can also use your voice to control the earth. Talk about weaponization. When you give him access to your heart, you also give him access to your tongue. Why? Because Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap consequences. Consequences, the things we say. So watch this. You've granted him the ability to spread death amongst all the people you love. Every time you give him access, you give him permission to kill the people around you. I want you to see how serious this is. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines your course of life. Above all else. Listen, there's a lot of else in here. So above all this, above all of it, he says, guard your heart. Why? Because it gives access to the tongue, and the tongue gives access to the power to control the earth. Are you following me up to now? Man, I a few more amens and I'd know you were connected. Why? Because it's the access point. The allows the enemy to be able to manipulate the potential that was created inside of you. See, once you give him access, he has ability. The potential you have in you, he manipulates it. And now instead of using it for God, he uses it for his own destructive purposes. Listen, follow this sequence. If he takes your heart, he takes your tongue. If he takes your tongue, he takes your authority. If he takes your authority, he takes your power. If he takes your power, he takes your control. If he takes your control, he takes your life. That's how it works from top to bottom. So what's the takeaway here? Guard your heart. Proverbs 6:16. There's six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes. What is a haughty eye? What exactly is that? As someone who sees themselves exalted. I am the man. No, you are not the man because you act like a child. Because a man would never speak in that context. They would say Jesus was the man and now he's Lord. So no, you're not the man. But that's exalted. I got to stay here for a minute. Can I teach you a revelation? I was reading the Lord shared with me. It's a pretty cool revelation. I want to say this. The second seat gets the glory. See, everybody wants the first seat. I want the first seat. No, it's the second seat gets the glory. Watch this. Joseph, didn't he have the seal of authority? Yeah. Who was first? Pharaoh. Who was second? Who had all the glory without the problems? See, there was someone over him that had the authority and did all the warring and the battling. Joseph just got the authority. If he had a problem, he just went like that to Pharaoh. He didn't have to deal with it. He just pointed to Pharaoh. Now, when Jesus finished his work, he got up, and what did he do? He walked over, and he sat down. Where did he sit? The right hand of the Father. What seat is that? He's second seat. All power and authority was given to him. It's the second seat gets the glory. See, everybody always wants the first seat. I don't want the first seat. I want the second seat. And what I said when I signed up with Jesus is, you have first eminence of my life. I take second seat. You got the front seat. I'm not even going to backseat drive. Because every time I backseat drive, I about get us into an accident. I cause trauma in our life. So I'm going to take the second seat. Because then anytime anything goes wrong, I just point at you. Anytime I need something, I just point at you. Anytime things aren't going right, I don't have to go straighten out anything. Because you gave me the authority. But you fight my battles. God put the potential in you to be able to deal with anything that you will ever face in your life. It's already there. You just don't know it's there. That's why things are still overtaking you. That's why you're still battling. That's why we continue to struggle. And I'm right there with you. I'm getting revelation every day, and I'm getting a lot better at some things. Because I'm starting to realize, I'm starting to wake up inside. I'm starting to see myself in a way I've never seen myself. I don't know about you, but I like what I'm seeing. Because the more I look in this light, the more I'm seeing a Jesus and a lot less I'm seeing a me. The second seat receives the glory. You have to understand, that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He won the first seat. So what he does, he still wants the first seat. So what does he do? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And these are the way that these are the ways that he attempts to do it. That's why God detests them. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. I can tell you right now, one thing I cannot stand is a liar. Man, anybody that I've ever worked with in ministry that I've tried to help and reach out to, I tell them right off the bat, you lie to me one time, we're done. One time, you lie to me, done, I'm not reaching out to you anymore. You're not going to waste my time or yours. Because that means you're not sincere. I don't care how bad the thing is you do. I don't care what it is. Just tell me the truth. I'll stick with you. You can't run me off. Matter of fact, I got your back. Just tell me the truth. And anybody that's ever worked with me, you know I've kept my word. Why? Because I don't like a liar. God detests a liar. Hands that kill the innocent. Now here we go straight to murder. Let me tell you something. You can kill people with your mouth. You know, I was in the grocery store the other day and I heard somebody looking at their child saying, "You stupid blank, blank, blank. You're ignorant." And I'm like, I want to go over and choke them and pray for their healing. What? Speaking into that, just killing them. I want to hand them a knife. It would have been quicker. Damaging that little soul, that little heart. Think we're going to have any rebellion problems when they get about 13? A heart that plots evil. There's some folks, I don't care how much you do for them. I don't care how much you think they're always up to something. And it's not good. Bible says mark them and avoid them. That was for somebody today. If there's anyone causing dissension in the body, mark them, avoid them. Feet that race to do wrong, false witness and pours out lies. A person who sows discord in a family. Why is it that in every family there always seems to be one? And it always seems to show itself most around holidays. Can I get an amen, something, an oh me? Bishop, I got one too. You got one? I guess. Some of y'all are like, I got three, man. I got four. But there's always like at least one of them, right? And you know when everybody's happy until the dark cloud hits the room. Everything gets tense. Everybody puckers up. God detests that type of character and nature, sowing discord in a family. So I look at them and I think, well, how do they get there? How do we get there? Because they left their heart unguarded. They just left their heart unguarded, and they just let stuff in they shouldn't have let in. Keep staying in things they shouldn't stay in. Keep doing things they shouldn't keep doing. The heart's wide open, and it's just coming in, giving the enemy full access to do whatever he wants. So listen to me. I'm going to make another statement. You might want to write it down. Every time the enemy attempts you, it's an assassination attempt. Because if he gains access, he will assassinate your character. That's the first thing he will do. 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, Bible's clear, rid yourselves. Get rid of it. Rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Colossians 3:8. But now you must all rid yourselves. Get rid of it. Of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do you understand when it says right here, and filthy language from your lips? It's talking about your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? Do you know that every time he uses your voice, he's using it as a weapon against you? You ever heard of the old saying, well, he shot himself in the foot? This is worse. You stabbed yourself in the heart with a knife. If he uses your mouth for something that the enemy is trying to do to assassinate your character, you're giving him the weapon to use against you. He doesn't have any weapons until you give it to him. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by those deceitful desires. So Ephesians 4:31, as you continue to read, says, get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave us. Okay, let's just circle the wagon here for a minute. How do you put these things off? You guard your heart. Then if you guard your heart, you protect your potential, right? Now, if you protect your potential, then God can speak to you and through you, and all of those things you were focusing on before will be driven out by your purpose. Oh. From what he put in you, your potential is how you derive your purpose. And when your purpose comes out of you, it will get your attention and get your focus on the thing that God needs you and is calling you to do. And your purpose will only be accomplished by faith in God. You can try anything you want, do anything you want, attempt anything you want, go to 457 seminars. Your potential and your purpose will only be achieved. Your full potential is if you have faith in God. Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Right? He spoke it. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I see something, but it was made from an unseen realm. Can I teach you something? Real quick, I'm just going to walk away from this for a minute. It also says to walk by faith and not by sight. How do you walk by something you can't see? What do you mean the things that are seen are made from things which do not appear? What does that even mean? Okay. They took an MRI of a brain. Because I told you in the earth realm, we communicate through those three senses. Hearing, seeing, and feeling, right? That's how we communicate. So they put someone in deep intercessory prayer. And when they went into deep intercessory prayer, there was a point that when they crossed over, they were checking certain quadrants of brain. And these certain areas of brain would light up like a light bulb. One is the communication center. My brain is being communicated with. The other one's saying, but I'm in a meditated state. So if you will, it was saying that, you know, I'm still here. So I have understanding and I have a light up brain because I'm praying. So I'm hearing my prayer and I'm understanding. So that's where the communications come from. The communication's coming from me, and the brain realizes over here that it's me and is communicating and receiving it. Receiving information, giving information. There was a point that when they crossed over, at some point in prayer. Now, anybody knows we call it praying in the spirit. You get out of you and you get into him. Well, when that happened, at that moment, the part where we were doing the talking turned off. But the part that was still receiving kept blinking. Now, that signal was coming from somewhere. But it wasn't from anything that was seen. It's the same place where God gave you an address when he knew you before the womb. So when you are praying, listen, even if you can't get there, Jesus says, don't worry. Even when you know not what to pray for, I'll do it for you. If you can't get the mail in your mailbox, I'll deliver it myself. I know this is deep. I know this is reaching. I'm just telling you what the Bible tells you. You have to have some depth in your understanding of God, or you'll never see this Bible for what it is. You'll see it real superficial. You have to see the depth of the word, and deep right now is calling to deep. I'm tired of splashing around in the shallow water. I want to dive down, get underwater. So I want pressure in my ears. I'm going so deep where I could feel the pressure squeezing my brain. And so there is a realm that God speaks from that you can't see it. And it formed everything here that is seen. But when that unseen speaks to the potential that can't be seen in you, it enlightens you. And when it enlightens you, you can see, according to the Bible, you can see what God is saying to you. May God give to me the spirit of the revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. I mean, the eyes of my understanding, I get it. I see what you're saying, God. And then you can see the thing that God's saying inside of you. But watch this. The enemy can't see it. See, you can say things to me and he can hear it. I can say things and he can hear it. And there's still power in that. But when God says something to me, he can't see it, he can't hear it, and he doesn't know about it. And if I need to speak back to God, I just go in the spirit and I pray in tongues. And he can't understand it. He can't do anything about something he doesn't understand. So now you see why Paul says, walk in the Spirit daily. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not edify the flesh. We just taught a whole series on flesh. Where was the struggle? The flesh. It wasn't with the devil. The devil's defeated, remember? Well, he was until we decided to give him our tongue. Till we decided to give him the most important weapon we possess. So the full potential will never be released by what you see, but instead by what you believe. Now listen, you have potential to do good, or you have potential to do bad. You just have to decide which one you want to release. But what you release will determine your outcome. And basically, that will control the course of your life, and you choose. Now I have to do this with you. We have a lot of new people here, and you haven't done this with me yet. Hold your hands up. This is the John 10:10 scale. Thief come not but to left hand, steal, kill, and destroy. But I have came that you might have life and life abundantly. So the left is steal, kill, and destroy. Life more abundantly. So you have to look everything you're seeing, thinking, bringing in, somehow entering into these gates in any way, which side of the scale does it set on? Now, if it lands on the left side where the devil is, then why are you still allowing him to make your choices? Remember, listen to this. The enemy has no power and no authority in this world until he borrows yours. Can you please stand to your feet across this house? Y'all want a part two? Okay. Then I better cut it off right there. The enemy has no power unless he borrows yours. Do we really want to relinquish the thing that God put in us? Do we want to hand that so easily over to an enemy who's against us? Sometimes you just have to ask yourself some pointed questions. But if so, nobody ever lays it out for you, you don't know what to ask. So many people are floundering around. They just don't know why they can't get into their purpose. Do you understand now? It's not as hard as we make it. The hard part is doing the simplest thing, believing it. But once you conquer that, even your walk is already taken care of. Steps of a righteous man, they're already ordered for you. You just have to walk in the plan that God's provided. And I believe that everybody in here wants to do that. So every week, we're going to arm you, every Wednesday night, every Sunday, every meeting we have through the week. We're here to arm you, protect you, teach you, train you on how to protect the potential that's in your life and how to get it revealed and released so the thing you're supposed to do can be released into the earth. See, if you don't release what you're supposed to release, it might be affecting what I need, and I can't release it until you release yours. So ultimately, my blessing might be tied up in you. So I need you to release. The only way you're going to do that is to be able to hear from God. Get in the Spirit. Get out of you and into Him. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're doing everything just right. God knows I'm not. Is anybody in here just everybody doing right? Let me see. No, don't put your hand up. I'll have to get the oil. And my God, there's so many of us. I'll be here all day. Let's just take it where we are. And let's realize what we have. And let's work with what we've got. And watch this. That's enough. You don't have to pray for anything else. That's enough. Just realization that God already has in you, He's already put in you what you need. I'm just trying to speak to it today. I'm trying to poke it. I want it to, like a pinata. I just want to get out of there. I want the prize inside. Get out of there. Release it. It's in you. Stop being afraid of it. You will never, God can never do something for you till you do something you've never done. So what's He calling you to do? Let's do it. Well, I wanted to work back in children's, but man, I don't even know what I'm doing. Go do it. I wanted to help out with the youth, but I don't even know if I could, you know, kids are just different today. Go try. Well, I want to go talk to Him about Jesus, but I'm afraid what He'll say. Why don't you just go check it out and see? You may be amazed. Can I just say one thing real quick? We were at a Potter's House weekend. I just felt, I was flowing in the Spirit, and man, it was just one of those days, man, I could just feel the power of God. And the more I talked, the more wadded up this man's face got. By the end of my talk, I thought, man, he's gonna shoot me. I mean, this looked like it was pure anger. And so I thought, well, you know, just try to not focus on what's going on. You know, try not to ever watch people when I'm preaching. But he was just so obstinate. So I just looked away. And I gave an altar call. And before I even got finished, the man jumped up, and I thought he was coming after me. Instead, he fell at my feet on his knees. I thought he was coming after me. I'm not lying. I was already in position. You know, I was like, whoa. And he just fell at my feet. And he began to sob, and he began to cry. I'm talking about the big old stringy snotting kind. I mean, he was just buck heaving on his back. See what it was? He was being dealt with by the Holy Ghost. And his flesh was fighting him every way, and he was being dealt with. And I thought he was about to explode. You never know where a person is. And usually sometimes the meaner they look, the more they need God. And they may be, the reason they're looking so mean is because they're miserable, and they need somebody to teach them about Jesus. But everybody's too afraid to talk to them. So they get offended. Guys, we got to start stepping out on faith again. We got to start testing the waters. We got to start doing some things we haven't done. We got to push ourselves beyond the boundaries that we've set for ourselves. Why do we set these crazy boundaries? Let's open up the borders, right? Stretch them. Say, Lord, stretch me. We can't. No, no, that was terrible. Say, Lord, give me a new wineskin. Well, you don't get a new wineskin unless something dies. So we got to die to a few things so Christ can live. And the more he lives in you, the more potential that can be released that you were designed for anyway. It's the most compatible thing for your life. Who wouldn't want it? So that's what I'm going to speak to today. If you're here today and you need Jesus, I'm telling you, if you have not asked Jesus into your life, you need to do it today. It broke my heart last week that three people left here, and I believe in my heart, I really do, I still believe they made the prayer. I think they were just too afraid to raise their hand. I've seen it many times. But today, don't be that person. Man, the best thing that could ever happen to you in your life wants to happen. Let's not keep it from happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to look around if there's anyone, and you'd say, I never really asked Jesus into my heart. I've really never made that prayer. I want you to be able to do that today. Now, nobody's going to, you know, embarrass you or call you out. It's none of that. It's just in a minute, we're all going to say a salvation prayer. We're going to say it together. It's a family. But I do like to know, you know, who I'm praying for while I'm praying. And so if that's you, just, it's not going to embarrass you or anything. Just, let me see your hand. Who is it? Who can I be praying for today? Just put your hand up. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for the hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Yeah, you're not asking to join the church. You're just saying, man, I want to get it right today. See, you're being honest, and that's when your life changes. That's when God can do something. Because now you're telling the truth. Man, truth, and to know that truth, it sets you free. You knew a truth, you applied it. Look, you're going to be set free. Is there anyone else? I'll look around one more time. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you for that hand, sweetheart. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Yeah, see, just thank you. Now, if you are here, and God knows we've all been there, you just got pulled off the path a little bit. I don't even know how you did it. You think you're fine one day, next thing you know, you're so far away from God, you don't even know how you got there. But if that's you today and you just say, man, I want to come back, I got to get this thing fixed, there's always room at the cross for one more. So if that's you today and you said, man, I've said that prayer before, but I just want to come home. I want to get my life back straight again. I want to fix a few things. If that's you, let me see your hand because we're going to pray for you too. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. So I'm being honest. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? I can see up there. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? This is not you understand, this is not a shame thing. This is a glory thing. This is the greatest thing that you could ever be doing. This is, I respect people who will put their hand up because you know what? I can trust you because you're telling the truth. I respect that. Nothing to hide. Okay, well, we have some work to do here, and I know all of us have a few things we're working on. So what I'm going to ask you to do is when we pray this salvation prayer today, just ask the Lord to fix that. Say, Lord, you speak to that potential in me, and you release whatever it takes to get me to stop doing that. Fair enough? So I want to do just exactly what I said. I want to pray the Romans 10:9 prayer. So you can be set free and you can, listen, I don't know about you, but the greatest thing that ever happened in my life is I received Jesus. And I want that same thing. We all want that same thing for you. Amen? So let's close our eyes, bow our heads, repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. You are my Lord. So, Lord, I ask you, search my heart. If there be any unclean thing, take it from me. I ask you to speak to the potential that you put inside of me to release the thing that I need to do for you and to help me to stop doing those things that you don't like. In Jesus' name, I believe it, I confess it, and now that settles it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together. Let's thank the Lord today. I pray everybody here reaches their full potential. God bless you, everybody.